Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And we are reacting all show long to breaking news that was broken by our next guest. Mark Seagraves is a reporter for NBC4, and he threw our show for quite a loop about, I don't know, Mark, you gave me about 22 seconds before we got on the air today. Thanks for that, buddy.
Yeah, happy to help out. There's nothing like live radio.
Nothing like live radio, nothing like live TV. So let's start back at the beginning here for folks that are just tuning in. The Commanders look to be close to returning to RFK. That is your reporting. I will let you fill in what you think are the most relevant details from here, kind of how we learn this, what the money is, and what kind of detail we know about what this project is going to look like so far.
Yeah, sure. So this is... Look, if you want the team to come back to D.C., this is great news. This is as close as the two parties have ever been, and it shows that they're working and moving forward. It's important to note it's not a done deal, so these things could change. But there is a framework, and we have NBC Washington obtained a copy of a document that shows a framework in place of a more than $3 billion deal that would have the team putting up to $2.5 billion, and the city putting in up to $850 million toward this project, with a deadline of having the stadium completed in time for the 2030 season kickoff. Now, we know Josh Harris has wanted a stadium to open by that time, so it fits in with his timeline. Again, a source familiar with these negotiations told me nothing is set in stone right now, and that $2.5 billion number could come down a little bit when we finally get to a final deal inked at the bottom line. But this is kind of the framework that we're seeing right now. It also shows, the documents show, that the team would not just build the stadium there, but that they would be the master developer for the entire 180-acre campus along the Anacostia River. And we know that Josh Harris just hired former executive vice president from JGB Smith Development, who was critical in the development of the Amazon 2 headquarters development in Virginia. So this is just the kind of project that guy works on. They would develop the retail and residential and green space components of that along the river there, as well as the stadium and parking facilities. And again, important to note, the D.C. taxpayer money that would go into this, up to $850 million, would be used almost primarily for infrastructure, like the parking structures and roads and things that the city would have to pay for regardless of if a stadium went there or not. Any development that would go there would need massive infrastructure improvements that the district would have to pay for. So that's kind of the overview of the deal that is being worked out right now. But what it really shows is that these two sides are working, moving forward, and have the framework for a deal that needs to get done because of the budget cycles and whatnot within the next month or two.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4, with us. So let's double-click on a few things there, Mark. First, we say it's close. Things could still happen to prevent this. How do we define close here, and what are the final I's to be dotted, T's to be crossed?
Sure. So I'll use as many sports metaphors as I can beat
yes!
to death.
Yes! I feel like news reporters, when they come on our shows, live for these moments. Like, if you're a sports fan, you're just like, finally, someone who's going to get the thing that I've wanted to say all along.
That's right. I avoid cliches like the plague. Look, we're definitely in the red zone, right? We are very, very close. It doesn't seem like anybody else is, you know, Maryland's not even in the, doesn't seem to even be in the conversation. It seems like these two sides are locked in, and Mayor Bowser and Josh Harris, who you saw in that picture in the Oval Office with former President Biden when he signed the deal that transferred the land to the city, they have become good partners and good working partners, and they clearly have a good relationship. So that's a good thing. There are definitely some hurdles ahead. First, the district is facing a more than $400 billion in budget cuts over the next 6 months that have been imposed by Congress that the district shouldn't have been responsible for, wasn't planning for, and the mayor has said these cuts could be devastating and will impact public safety and transportation, and there are going to be layoffs and cuts in services. So they have to get through that first, and that'll be resolved probably in the next 30 to 45 days. Once they get that done, the mayor can submit her 2026 budget. Now, the mayor said publicly earlier this week that the 2026 budget was completed and ready to transmit to council. That was what triggered me, because I knew, we all knew, that if there was a deal with the team, it was going to have to be in the 2026 budget, because it would need to be approved by council in time to start construction to meet the 2030 deadline, right? And so they would have to get the 2026 budget approved by council and then Congress. There's another big hurdle ahead, and it has to do with zoning. There is a group of residents who have started a petition drive to get an initiative on the ballot that, if it was approved by D.C. voters, would restrict what could be built on the RFK campus to simply residential and would block a stadium from being there. So that's another hurdle that's in the way. So there are those three legislative hurdles, if you will, ahead of them. But the biggest hurdle the mayor is going to face is selling to the public and the 13 members of the D.C. Council the idea of putting up hundreds of millions of dollars to help build a stadium at a time when they're making what the mayor has described as devastating cuts to things like public safety, transportation, safety nets, all of that kind of stuff in the face of this budget crisis. So the optics, the timing could not be worse for the mayor, but, you know, she's forging ahead. And if you look at this and you compare it to stadium deals around the country, if you're pro stadium, right, if you think a stadium is a good investment for any jurisdiction and you want this team to come back, and you compare this deal to other stadium deals around the country, it's hard to find a deal that where you have an owner putting up so much money compared to what the jurisdiction is putting up. And a lot of that is because you know, the land is free. DC got the land from the federal government. Nobody's having to buy the land. So that makes it easier to kind of make this lucrative deal. But if you're pro stadium, pro bringing the team back, then I think you have to look at this deal as a pretty good deal.
So, and did I hear you say correctly too, that the public money is going to go towards things that they probably would have spent on anyway in that area, no matter what, like whether it's housing, whether it's whatever else could be put on that land, updates to the roads, et cetera,
right.
That's going to be so.
Right.
So at that point, I guess that's probably going to be their political argument to the public.
Yeah, you got it. That's exactly right. That's what they're going to say. And that's what a lot of council members have said in the past. They're okay with spending money on infrastructure, but not on the actual stadium. And I think that's the kind of the line, the demarcation that the mayor is going to try to walk, you know, and again, like parking structures that are going to have to be put in there. They'll certainly serve the stadium, right? The stadium and the NFL requires a certain amount of parking for stadiums, right? And so that will be seen as part of the stadium, but those parking structures will serve the entire complex, not just the stadium. So that will be the argument that they make along those infrastructure improvements and investments.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line. Plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4, with us. So we spent actually quite a bit of time, thanks to the fact that this is what our first call that we took on this was about, Mark, talking about the neighborhood pushback. How real is that? And then what kind of, like, what are we talking about functionally there? Is this something that could be on a citywide ballot? Is this something that is going to be voted on by our elected representatives in the city council? What kind of pushback is coming from the neighborhood, and what kind of arguments or what are the mechanisms to resolve that?
Right. All of the above is your quick answer. So the mayor held a town hall meeting at Eastern High School, which is in the shadow of RFK Stadium there on East Capitol, on right at the stadium there. And it was packed with residents, neighbors, people who live right around the city, hundreds of them packed into this high school auditorium to hear the mayor's presentation and ask her questions. And I got to say, I went to that really expecting to see kind of the, you know, the discontent and firebrand that we're seeing, like, congressional representatives getting across the country, right, these days. But in fact, the vast majority of people who were in that room, the residents, seemed open to a stadium and did not, you know, there were some who were like, hey, we'd rather have a grocery store. You know, there are other things we need in this neighborhood before we need a stadium. But there was an immense pushback. But there will be some pushback from residents who live around there who have kind of enjoyed, you know, for the past many years, not having that traffic flowing in there every Sunday morning and out every Sunday night when there's a game. The ballot initiative that is being proposed and worked on is being done by some people who have had great success. Look, in D.C., ballot initiatives have been very successful in getting cannabis legalized or decriminalized, in getting the minimum wage for tipped employees raised. So we have seen legislation by the public through voter initiatives be successful in the past here in D.C. So what would happen is they'll have to get a certain number of signatures to get it on the ballot. They'll probably be able to do that because, again, the people organizing this have done this before. They know how to get those signatures. So you put it on the ballot. Then if more than 50% of the voters approve the ballot initiative, it would become law and the zoning could block the stadium. Now, the D.C. Council has the authority to overturn the will of the public and voter initiatives if they so desire, and they have in the past. And so my guess is if there's enough support on the council to fund the stadium and the district residents vote against it anyway in the voter initiative, that the council would probably overturn that voter initiative and just incur the wrath of those voters who are upset that, you know, they're going against the will of the voters. And then the other vote that D.C. Council has will be on the budget itself and the financing of this. And then, you know, you'll definitely have some back and forth there, as you always do with legislators when they're, you know, making the sausage. And so we'll have to see how that comes out. But again, in normal budget times, I believe the mayor has enough support to pass this, depending on what it looks like. The question is, will there be enough support from the council during this budget crisis that has been imposed on them by council? I can say, look, if the Congress comes back in a couple of weeks and undoes the $400 million cut to the D.C. budget, as President Trump has instructed them to do, and the Senate has already done, then that's like a gift to the mayor and would make this a whole lot easier. But right now, that is uncertain at best. And so they're moving forward with those cuts. So if the mayor can convince enough council members to make this kind of investment at a time when they're cutting services and jobs, they'll get it done. And I can tell you the mayor is going to put everything she has behind this.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4. And Mark, I hate to do this on the air, but are we good for like another 5 minutes here? I don't want to mess up your next live hit.
Yeah, I can go up to 5:30 with you.
Okay, great. So I got two other main questions, and then hopefully we'll give you back a few minutes of your time. Don't you love when people say that in corporate meetings? It's like, oh, thanks, really appreciate that. The actual facility here, multi-use is the word we're going to hear a lot. And then they're gonna have to figure out what kind of stadium this is, whether this is a dome, whether it's a retractable roof, 50,000, 100,000. What kind of details do we have on the facility type and what kind of stadium, if we have any of those details at this time?
We don't have any of those details at this time
okay,
right
that's
now.
Easy. So,
and none of that is
list.
Included in there. But I can tell you
okay.
that when the mayor talks about it, when the team talks about it, everybody talks about a dome. They want a year-round stadium. They want to attract a Super Bowl, they want to attract Final Fours, they want to attract World Cup, they want to have a place that, as you said, you know, can be used year-round, not just, you know, a few weeks out of the year. That's the big, you know, thing about football stadiums is, you know, it's not like downtown where you have hockey and basketball in Capital One Arena, you know, 100 nights a year, however many home games they play a year. Here with football, as you know, it's far fewer games. So they're going to want a facility that can be used year-round and get the maximum potential out of it and attract. You know, we were very close to getting the Olympics a few years ago, and a lot of people think the thing that kept us away was, you know, we didn't have a big stadium. You know, we didn't have a dome stadium. We didn't have a great place like that. So that's probably what you're going to see, but I think we're ways off from that.
Yeah, of course, didn't get the Olympics. Also got skipped over for the Men's World Cup in 2026. But Women's World Cup coming in 2031, so that could be one of the major events. It'd be cool to have the final here. I'm just putting that out in the world. Last thing for you, Mark, the timeline here. You mentioned the city council parts of this, the congressional element. What are we watching for next as we follow this story?
I would expect to see the mayor, particularly since our reporting now, and it's out there, and I have to say this, our reporting probably couldn't come at a worse time for the mayor, just because I think she was hoping she would have this $400 million budget cuts resolved and behind her and then announce this. But she has to present the 2026 budget to the council soon. I mean, she's already late. It's already overdue. So, you know, within a month or not much more, she's going to have to present that 2026 budget to the council, and in that budget will be the stadium deal and the financing for it. And so I would expect to see the mayor making some type of an official announcement as soon as, you know, the next week or two. She doesn't have any public schedule this week. So far, she hasn't put out a public statement on my reporting, but I would suspect that next week at whatever ribbon cutting or groundbreaking she appears at next week, she'll be facing a lot of questions about this, and I would suspect, again, certainly within a couple of weeks, less than a month, you'll see some type of official announcement, because it will have to come out before the budget comes out.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4 reporter, ruckus maker, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Mark, excellent reporting on this. Thanks for spending some time with us on what must be a ridiculously busy day. We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. I really appreciate you having me. My first love has always been live radio, so it's great to be on the air with you guys.
We'll definitely be in touch to have you back. Mark, appreciate it. Thank you. That's Mark Seagraves, everybody. You can catch him tonight, probably here in a few minutes, on NBC4, live at 5:30 and 6, and I'm sure he'll be on the 11 tonight as well. We appreciate his time here on the radio. Fantastic reporting. Now that you've got more insight and details, we get back to your calls. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. More of you on this. The Commanders close to returning to RFK next on the Team 980.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.